Good afternoon. My name is Pastor Jerry Wilder. We are running a few minutes late on my part this afternoon, being in the studio. But nevertheless, I'm glad to be in studio to share the Word of God with you. What I'm going to deal with this afternoon is the promise of the Father. Oftentimes, we make mention of a lot of the promises of God, but this is a promise as a Christian, a believer, a child of God, that you can't do without. And so, I want to read to you Acts chapter 1. 4 and 5. Hey, Charlotte, how you doing? Hope all is well. Hey, Joanne, how are you? Tina, how are you? And so, Acts 1, 4 and 5, and being assembled together with them, referring to his disciples, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. So now he's going to explain to us, Jesus is going to explain according to the scripture. Hey, Mike Bishop, how are you, sir? Always good to see you and to hear from you. Jesus is going to explain to us what the promise of the Father is. Which saith he, you have heard of me. So now Jesus is talking to his people, to his followers, to his disciples. Good afternoon, Sherry. Talking to his disciples about the promise of the Father. Then he says to them that this promise of the Father, you have already heard of me. So obviously this promise of the Father that Jesus is talking to his disciples about, he had already taught them to expect this promise of the Father. Verse 5, for John verily, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from hence. And so that is the promise of the Father, that you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, excuse me, not many days from hence. And so let me just share with you real briefly this life that we live, this Christian life that we live. It's very difficult and it's almost impossible to live it. Matter of fact, I would go as far as to say you can't really live it like it ought to be lived unless your life be empowered by the Holy Ghost. It's very difficult or almost near impossible to even do ministry without the Holy Ghost. And oftentimes, as Christians and believers, we don't realize that in order for Jesus to have done what he did, he did not do anything as the Son of God. He did everything as the Son of Man with his life anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then also in Luke 24:49, Jesus says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So I just kind of need to clear that up too. Now, Jesus makes this statement, but he made this statement before the day of Pentecost, he make this statement before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So he says to his disciples, Luke 24:49, but tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So you no longer have to tarry now for the Holy Spirit in order to receive the Holy Ghost, in order to be baptized by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is already here. He came on the day of Pentecost, but Jesus made the statement before Pentecost. He makes the statement before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus always taught his disciples to expect the outpouring, glory to God, of the Holy Spirit. Then in Acts 1:8, Jesus makes another statement. He says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And so you are not endued with power. You don't really have the power until the Holy Ghost come upon you. And so it is possible to be, and I just want to, you know, make this plain and simple and be as clear as possible. You can be saved, but not everyone saved really have the power. And so in this day and in this age and in this time, you have to be able to demonstrate the power, glory to God, of the Holy Spirit. I want to read another scripture to you real quickly. And the reason I kind of just minister from the Bible, because I don't deal with my personal opinion. My personal opinion don't really amount to too much of anything. It's the opinion of the Word of God that count. It's God's opinion that count. The Apostle Paul, he makes this statement in 1 Corinthians 2:4. This is what the scripture read, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. And so even when it come to ministry and when it come to preaching, then included in our preaching should be a demonstration of the Spirit and the power. In other words, people's lives being changed because of a demonstration of the Spirit and the power. People being filled with the Holy Ghost because of, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, as a demonstration of the Spirit and the power. In our preaching, should also the spiritual gifts should be a part, glory to God, of our preaching in demonstration. The gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of the working of miracles, the gift of faith, the gift of prophecy, the gift of diverse kind of tongue, the gift of interpretation of tongues, the gift of discerning of spirits. I don't know if that's the sequential order, but the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit should be in demonstration in our preaching. That's why Jesus was able to do so much, glory to God, in his ministry, because the gifts of the Spirit, because he was full of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit was always demonstrated, glory to God, in his preaching. And so back now to Acts 1 and 8, but you shall receive power. Somebody need to shout power, or somebody need to say power, or you need to understand that after you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power. See, the power don't come before the Holy Ghost. Jesus said you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come unto you. You know, I don't know if I should be surprised by this, but you know, even in the church world, you know, people are not too much today convicted by too much of, you know, anything. And that's because there is an absence of the teaching of the Holy Ghost, and there's an absence of people being filled with the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost never come to condemn you, but he always come to convict you of what's right, what's wrong, should you turn left, should you go right, you know, that type of thing. And so Jesus said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Well, what's the purpose of the power? That we should be witnesses unto him, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost glory to God parts of the earth. Emmanuel, how you doing, man? Good to see you, sir. And so that's, you know, that's what ministry is really all about. And all of us have opportunity to do ministry. Too often ministry is defined by standing behind a podium. And a lot of times we bypass ministry in the marketplace, on our jobs, you know, wherever our circle of friends are, the people that we run with, the people, you know, that we kind of fellowship, you know, with, people that we run across. And so most of the time, again, people want to define ministry by standing behind a podium. But if the truth be told, Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. In other words, there's no problem with no harvest, because when Jesus died, his death, his burial, and his resurrection produced the harvest. So it's our responsibility to just go ahead and reap the harvest. But Jesus said that the laborers are few. So it's not a problem with the, you know, with the harvest. The problem, glory to God, is always with the laborers. And so instead of looking to be seen or to be heard or to get behind somebody's podium, would you believe God really want to use you right where you are? Wherever you are, people are in need, glory to God, of Jesus. You know, right? Even in our own families, including mine as well, people need Jesus. Wherever we go, people need Jesus. People are going through difficult, hard times today. Many people are somewhat hopeless to some degree. And I'm just telling you, Earl, how you doing, sir? Glad you joined Faith at Noon today, that people need Jesus. And so really, the whole purpose really of the church is so that we can come to church, get equipped by the word of God, and then take that word before, take that word rather beyond the four walls, you know, of the church. You know, because that's where people need Jesus. People need Jesus in the street. And so Jesus said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You know, people are bound. People are in bondage. People are under stress. People are depressed. People are sick. People are in all type of bondage. People got all type of things going on. And so you need your life to be empowered by the Holy Spirit so that you can do ministry, glory to God, to those people. And so oftentimes, people don't always have to come to church in order to get saved. And what I'm talking about is this, is that when Jesus was on Calvary, they hung him between two thieves. The two thieves, one of them got saved while he was on the cross. He wasn't a member of anybody's church. He wasn't going to church. He was about to be condemned. He was sentenced to death for some stuff that he did. But he had an encounter with Christ while he was on the cross that eternally, glory to God, changed that man's eternal destiny. Hey, Pastor T, how you doing? Hope all is well. Thank you for tuning in to Faith at Noon. And so in this day, what Jesus was saying before his ascension, he said to his disciples, if you're going to continue my ministry, then you have to wait to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, because it's going to take the Holy Spirit to do what I did. So, people of God, want you to know that when Jesus took his seat at the right hand of the Father, he never intended for his ministry to cease because he was not here. And so when he got back to heaven, that he sent the Holy Spirit so that we, the people of God, can be empowered with the Holy Spirit so that we can continue the work of the Lord. See, the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit in you is for victorious living. So it takes the power of God to live right. It takes the power of God to be saved and stay saved. It takes the power of God. Hey, Rich, how you doing, sir? Thank you for joining Faith at Noon today. So it takes the power of God to do this. It takes the power of God to live this. It takes the power of God to live right, to talk right, to do what's right. And then the Spirit of God being upon you is for ministry when you minister, glory to God, to other people. And so when you look at Acts 2 and 4, we kind of talked about this in our last session, but I'm kind of sold out on faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. See, faith is always going to come. You just have to guard your ears about what you're going to hear, because whatever you hear, faith is going to come for what you hear, rather in the negative or the positive. So a lot of negative stuff people talk because they was in some type of negative environment, that stuff was spoken and they heard it, and faith came for the negative things that people talk. And so faith come for the negative and faith come for the positive. So then faith cometh by hearing, and then the scripture tell you what you gotta hear, and hearing by the word of God. So if you're gonna have faith to receive the Holy Spirit, then somebody gotta preach it, somebody gotta teach it, somebody gotta proclaim it, somebody got to declare it, that you need power to be able to live this. And so Acts 2 and 4, the Bible deals with when the 120 people were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the first century church, the early church, everybody understood the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It said they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So if you have a desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost, people don't always have to lay hands on you. Sometimes you can just lift your hands. You can ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God will move on your vocal cords. The Spirit of God will give you a prompting. The Spirit of God will give you an utterance. And that utterance is the evidence of Him filling you, and then you just have to speak. You got to speak. See, the Holy Ghost don't speak. You do the speaking, but the Holy Ghost give the utterance. See, most people, they expect the Holy Ghost to knock them down. They expect the Holy Ghost to force them to speak. They expect the Holy Ghost to move against their will. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit will lead you. He will guide you. He will nudge you. He will give you an prompting. He will give you an utterance, but you, man or woman of God, you are the one, glory to God, you are the one that have to do the speaking. Because of course now, speaking in other tongues is supernatural. It's a supernatural divine utterance between you and God. And even though men may not understand it, God understands it, because 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. No man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speak mystery." It could be a mystery to men, but it's not a mystery to God, because the Holy Ghost searcheth the deep things of God, and it's the Holy Ghost that is decreeing and declaring those things through you. And so my time today, people of God, is just about up. I hope Faith at Noon has been a blessing, glory to God, to you. Again, my name is Pastor Jerry Wilder, Senior Pastor of Grace and Restoration Fellowship Church, located 385 Broadway, Patterson, New Jersey, in the LOJ building on the second floor. We have declared Patterson, New Jersey, as the city of righteousness. Our weekly worship service is every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. So I hope Faith at Noon has been a blessing to you. And don't forget, the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father, and every born-again child have a right to receive and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So until next time, may God richly bless you.